Take your Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter 5, please. Galatians chapter 5. And we are in, on Wednesday nights, we are in a series on Bible characters. We've been taking well-known characters, not so well-known characters out of the Bible, and using, highlighting aspects of their life that are instructional for us in the way of Christian character development. And that's kind of what our series really has been on Bible characters, is Christian character development. But tonight we're going to begin basically a series within that series. And the idea behind what we're going to begin to study is, what does, you know, practical Christian character really look like? And we have considered aspects of these characters' lives and highlighted them, and we'll continue to do that. But want to get a little more specific as to what Christian, practical Christian character looks like, and according to the Scriptures. And as a Christian, as a child of God, we're instructed in Ephesians chapter 5 to be filled with the Spirit. Without the filling of the Holy Spirit of God, we don't do so well in the area of Christian character and Christian character development. We need the power of God and the Spirit of God in our life. And that's why we're commanded, instructed to be filled with the Spirit of God. This is God's will for each of His children. And the day that we were saved, is the day that every believer receives the Holy Spirit of God, and our bodies we become a temple of the Holy Spirit of God. That's what 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says. Teaches us. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." And the instruction is, look, we're not our own. We belong to the Lord, and how we act and how we live is a big deal. It makes a big difference, and it is a big deal with God, because we are to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are God's. All of this, again, indicating the necessity to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, being filled with the Holy Spirit of God is not really you or I getting more of the Holy Spirit. Rather, it's the Holy Spirit getting more of you and more of me and less of our flesh. And there is a war that is going on inside the flesh against the Spirit. Now I want you to look with me in Galatians chapter 5, and we see in verse 17, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." And the indication here is that there's two desires going on here. The end of that verse says that ye cannot do the things that ye would. It indicates that there's a desire toward something, but there's something else that is in conflict with that, and pulling in the other direction. And it's the flesh. And so what we find here is this war. The flesh always wants to do wrong. And the Bible says here that these two, the flesh and the spirit, they're contrary the one to the other. They don't ever get along. And the flesh always wants to do wrong. The flesh always wants to do that which is contrary to God. This Holy Spirit of God with the new man, the inner man, wants to do that which is right. He always wants to do right, but there's this war that is going on. And the new man is always in agreement with the Spirit of God and the will of God, but there's this war that's going on, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Well, inevitably, someone is going to win that war, right? Who will win? Well, I've said this to you many, many times. Whichever one we feed the most is the one that's going to win. And I've used the illustration many times of the two dogs, you know, that you cage up and you don't feed them, you know, you starve one for a week and you feed the other one good steak and good meat, and at the end of the week you let those two dogs go at it to fight. Which one is going to win? The one that you feed the most. And it's the same in our spiritual life. Whichever we feed the most is going to win. How do we feed it? By what we allow into our life, through our eyes and through our ears. That's what we. That's how we feed either the flesh or the spirit. For example, you know what? If we are on a regular diet of Bible reading, where our eyes are reading the Word of God, our spirit is feasting on the truth of God's Word, and we have a regular diet of instruction from the Word of God, we're going to grow strong. If we are have a regular diet of prayer and a regular diet of church attendance and learning and growing and a regular diet of soul winning, feeding the spiritual man the good food of the Word of God, and man, that spiritual man's going to grow strong. Versus having a regular diet of raunchy movies and TV shows and raunchy music and ungodly friends and the influences that they would have. A regular diet of those things is also going to be feeding something. But it's not the spiritual man. One side or the other is going to be victorious depending on which one we feed the most. Look at verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Walking in the Spirit is the key to not fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. We find also in this passage, beginning in verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit and what the Spirit of God produces. We find in verse 19 and following the fruit of what the flesh produces, the works of the flesh. And we have this contrast in this passage. I want us to just go ahead and read, beginning in verse 16, all the way through. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do that ye would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. All of these here are physical things that are the works of the flesh. But it doesn't stop there, because he gets down to verse 20 and he says, the works of the flesh are also idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. Here's, hatred is hostility and opposition. It's tied in also with rebellion. Variance, that means quarrelings, emulations, wrath, strife. This is factions or contentions. Sedition. Sedition is disunion or division. Heresies. Envyings. That's jealousy, spite. Murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If you have a lifestyle of those kinds of things, you're not a saved person. But then I get to verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And we find here this contrast between the works of the flesh and the fruits of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit, what the Spirit of God produces, is simply the outward evidence of inward control of the Holy Spirit in the life. You following me here? So the love, the joy, the peace, all of those things, that fruit is outward evidence of inward control by the Holy Spirit of God in the life. You know, apple trees produce apples. If the Spirit of God is in control, it's going to produce good fruit. Likewise, listen, if we're walking in the Spirit, the outward evidence will be the good fruit of the Spirit of God. The love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. These should be evidenced in a believer's life because of the overwhelming control of the Holy Spirit of God. So the question again is, what does practical Christian character actually look like? You see where I'm going with this tonight? This is what these fruits that the Spirit of God produces is what Christian character actually looks like. Physical fruit is an outward evidence of the inward nature of the tree. And these nine characteristics here are the fruits of a Spirit-filled life, which is what God wants to be producing in every believer's life. So I want to talk to you tonight for just a few minutes about fruit. We'll take all of these, not tonight, we'll take them in the next 9 or 10 weeks. We'll take them individually and look at what does practical Christian character really look like. And we'll dig deeper into each of these fruits of the Spirit and how they are manifest in our life. But first of all, by way of introduction, okay, what did we just learn? What is fruit? Well, fruit is the outward evidence of the inward control of the Holy Spirit. That fruit is to be produced in every believer's life. And this fruit is actually Christ-like character being generated by walking in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. And so what does practical Christian character look like? Well, it's Christ-likeness. It's Christ-like character, Christ-like characteristics that are being produced in the life of a child of God. And we find here the contrast. Galatians 5 gives us a comparison of what the flesh will produce versus what the Spirit will produce. Verses 19 to 21 show us the dead works of the flesh. And we looked at what those things were. But verses 22 and verses 23 show us the living fruit of the Holy Spirit of God. So what is the conclusion in this comparison, in this contrast? Well, the conclusion is pretty simple, actually. If you live in the flesh, you're going to produce the dead works of the flesh. And what others will see in your life, they're going to see those works of the flesh being demonstrated in how we live and the attitudes of the heart that we portray. But if we walk in the Spirit will produce this living fruit in the life, which is also evidenced in how we live towards others and the attitudes of the heart that are generated. How do we actually live in the Spirit? Well, verse 25 of Galatians 5 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Paul answers this question of how do I live in the Spirit. He says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk. That's the lifestyle. And the promise that goes with this is verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. What is the promise? That if we walk in the Spirit, we're not going to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. I think sometimes we make living in the Spirit more difficult than it really is. We complicate it. We have this war that is going on within, between the flesh and the Spirit. And the simple truth is, the one that I feed the most is the one that's going to win. There's no need to complicate the issue. You understand what I mean? We make it more complicated. Simply feed the spiritual man, and we're not going to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. the one that is victorious will determine whether or not my life is evidencing the flesh or evidencing the fruit of the Spirit. Look at Romans chapter 8 with me. People wonder, why do I have such problems with this or with that? And why can't I seem to gain victory over this or gain victory over that? Why is this a continual issue for me? Well, we just simply have to determine that we're not going to feed the flesh anymore, and we're going to continue to feed the Spirit and not complicate it. Romans chapter 8, in verse 5 and following, this describes here the flesh versus the Spirit controversy and its results. Romans 8 and verse 5 says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify or put to death the deeds of the flesh, ye shall live." It basically describes this flesh versus Spirit controversy and its results. But notice verse 5, it says, verse 5 says, "They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh." And so the big question is, what do you mind? The word mind here is the Greek word that means to exercise the mind, to interest one's self, to set affections on, to savor. So let's think about this in logical terms. They that are after the flesh do mind, they set their affection on, they interest themselves, they exercise the mind in the things of the flesh. And so if there is the works of the flesh being produced, it's pretty clear what one is setting their affections on. If there's an issue that is a continual issue that you can't seem to gain victory over, the question is, what do you mind? What do you set your affection on? These verses go on to say that if we mortify or put to death the deeds of the flesh, we shall live. And the same Spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead is the same Spirit and the same power that will quicken your body so that we're not living in the flesh or controlled by the flesh. Whose power are we talking about here? The Spirit of God's power. Is there anything that is too difficult for Him? See, what it comes down to is a question of the mind. As a Christian, you strengthen, feed, and give control to either the flesh or the Spirit by what you think upon, what you set your affection on. Look at the comparison of the flesh and the Spirit in these verses. Verse 6 says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." You see the difference here? You see the comparison of the flesh versus the Spirit? What does the flesh produce? Living in the flesh, minding the flesh, setting affections on it, produces death. But the Spirit produces life, and it produces peace. Your life full of struggle, turmoil, not peaceful? Spirit of God produces peace in the life. Verses 7 and 8, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. What does the flesh produce? It produces being an enemy of God and not being able to please Him. So if we're living and walking in the flesh, we're not pleasing God. But walking in the Spirit is pleasing to God. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. What does the flesh produce? Well, it produces death because of sin. And the flesh will always lean toward sin, but the Spirit produces righteousness. Look in Romans chapter 7. In Romans 7, Paul describes the battle between the flesh and the Spirit that he experienced himself. In Romans 7, verse 15, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Have you ever felt that way? The thing that you don't want to do and the thing that you hate is the thing you end up doing. And then he says in verse 16, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, not the spiritual man, but sin that dwelleth in me, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Here's the struggle. I want to do right, I want to do good, but to actually carry that out consistently, he says, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And so Paul is describing here this battle between the flesh and the Spirit that even he experienced. And no Christian is exempt from this war that is within. Our flesh wants to do wrong. Our spirit wants to do right. We choose who is going to win by what we set our mind on. Paul said in verse 23 here, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. He concludes chapter 7 by stating how he gets the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Here's the application. The way that we live in our daily life, how we treat others as well, and the attitudes that we portray day by day are simply just evidences of how we think. Think on that. You know, I said, hey, what do you think of so-and-so? And it's really what God thinks, but you know what? The fruit that we produce is evidence for people to see, right? And we make a name for ourselves based on how we act. And so if I said, hey, what do you think of so-and-so? Well, that person, kind of crusty, you know, kind of grumpy, kind of, they got a really foul mouth, they got a sharp tongue, man, they got, you know, they're very mean, they're not very kind, and you know, these are if these are the impressions that we leave based on how we live. This is the evidence of our life. And listen, the way that we live, how we treat others, It's simply a reflection of the way that we think. Versus, hey, what do you think of so-and-so? Man, that person really loves the Lord. They encourage my soul by their desire to please God and their unselfishness and their willingness to help. Man, I'm telling you, that is a reflection, again, of the way that we think. You remember in Acts chapter 4, the disciples, you don't have to turn over there, but when the disciples were commanded to preach no more in the name of Jesus, you remember that? And what was their reply? What was their answer? Yes, and they said, we cannot do, or we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. We have to do the things that we've seen and heard, and we should obey God rather than men. But you know, that thought and that principle rings true here as well. You and I cannot help but speak and do the things that we've seen and heard as well. If we're filling up our mind, if we're filling up our mind with wickedness and ungodliness and worldliness, what's going to come out? The things that we've seen and heard. If we're filling up our mind with the spiritual and the Word of God and things that are glorifying to the Lord and that are feeding the spiritual man, what's going to come out? The things that we've seen and heard. The eyes and the ears are the gates to our mind. And what we fill our mind with, that we will do. Because the mind is what dictates the actions. That's why, well, in that light, I should say, Romans 12:2 becomes very, very powerful. Look at Romans 12. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Our minds need to be renewed day by day in order to walk in the Spirit and to be pleasing with the Lord. The fruit of the Spirit, the outward action of the inward control of the Spirit of God in our lives. What is the fruit of the Spirit? It's love, it's joy, it's peace. It's long-suffering, it's gentleness, it's goodness, it's faith, it's meekness and temperance. The question is your life characterized by love? You know what that is? That's divine concern for others. Is your life characterized by love? Divine concern for others? Or is it characterized by self-centered, self-serving focuses? Is your life characterized by joy? You know what joy is? It's cheerfulness and delight. That's the definition of it. Is that what characterizes your life? Do people notice that, see that? Or is it characterized by grouchy, mean, sarcastic demeanor? How about peace? This is the fruit of the Spirit, the outward action of the inward control. Does it characterize your life? Peace? You know what peace is? It's quietness and calmness of mind. Or is it characterized by panic, fear, emotionally controlled by your feelings? How about long-suffering? Does that characterize your life? That's patiently enduring injury. Or, well, do we write other people off? Oh, they messed up. Write them off. Or are we long-suffering? How about gentleness? Gentleness is kindness displayed with a sweet disposition. That's gentleness. Is your life characterized by that? Or is it characterized by harshness? Being critical of others? How about goodness? That means to be a well-doer. Does that characterize your life? How about faith? That's confidence and trust in God and His Word. Or is your life characterized by decisions that are based on your own understanding and your own desires? That's the opposite of faith. How about meekness? Does this characterize your life? Meekness is humility of heart. Or are you characterized by as being one who doesn't receive instruction or correction well because of pride in the heart? How about temperance? Temperance is self-control. Does that characterize your life? Or is there imbalance in the life and prone to extremes in the life and jumping to conclusions because of extremes? You see the contrast? And we haven't even talked about the works of the flesh, but we're just talking about the fruits of the Spirit, the outward action of inward control. See, these things are what practical Christian character actually looks like. And we're going to take each of these individually in the coming weeks and explore them deeper to see what they should look like in our lives. What does love really look like? Divine concern for others. What does joy look like in the life? And each one of these we'll look at deeper and allow the Word of God and the Spirit of God to instruct us, amen, that we would be more like Christ. Christian character, Christ-like character, amen. That should be the desire of every saint of God, is to want to grow to be like Christ, that God would be glorified through our life, that we'd be able to be used of God, amen, that He'd be pleased. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, pray that You'd help us to be quick to apply Your Word, and Father, to recognize the battle, to be constantly aware of the battle between the flesh and the Spirit, in moment by moment, in a day, in our conversations with others, in our doings. Lord, to understand that we've got a choice to make, to react in the flesh and think in the flesh and walk in the flesh, or to walk in the Spirit. It makes a difference on how we handle situations, and it makes a difference in how we think and the decisions that we make. Lord, may we be desirous and determined to be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, to feed our mind with the good food of God's Word, and Father, to continually be feeding the spiritual man with spiritual things, things that are going to uplift and edify and strengthen and cause the inner man to grow. And Father, to be day by day working at and determined to mortify the deeds of the flesh, to separate ourselves more and more from the affections and lusts of our flesh. Father, that we might be more and more like Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to wrap our minds around these truths and grasp them and then apply them. And Lord, may we never sit in boredom or sit in disinterest over the great truth of God's Word, but be hungry to apply it to our life and allow Your Spirit to have full control. Bless Your people. Bless our church. Father, grow us up in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.